This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Susie Rong. I get so excited when I hear your intro.
Thank you. I'm excited to join you every Tuesday. Do you love documentaries and why do you love them?
Oh, it sounds like I'm being sort of grilled in a court. Yes, I do. I love them. I love documentaries, Susie. I really do. Why do I love them? I mean, they can be boring documentaries. I like being curious. I think that's what drives me. And I find documentaries satisfy that curiosity. I like learning. I hate being stagnant. And I hate narrow-mindedness when people don't want to grow and don't want to learn and don't want to be curious. I really hate it. It irritates me when I come across narrow-mindedness. And I feel like documentaries...
You've hit the nail on the head.
Have I? Is that the right answer?
Yeah, because I was thinking about that... Two gold stands. You know, I was thinking about that word narrow-minded and how we don't use that word very much these days.
We need to bring it back.
And I think in today's documentary, it does deal with that. I don't think it ever talks about narrow-mindedness directly, but it kind of made me think, wow, it's really about how people are really narrow-minded and how in the 80s, maybe you and I as queer people would have, you know, talked about, oh, people need to be less narrow-minded, but people kind of don't use that word anymore. Maybe we use the word ignorance a bit more, but I think there is kind of like a subtle difference between the two.
Oh, you mean in the 80s
and today,
in the 1980s?
This documentary.
Not when we're 80.
Not in the 1880s. Not in the 1880s. But in the 1980s, we did talk about people being narrow-minded, people being open-minded. Yeah. I think at that stage, maybe there was more religion in our lives, maybe. I feel like it was related more to religion and how people were trying to break free from those kind of really old-fashioned doctrines. So we use the word narrow-minded more. These days, it just kind of feels like people are willfully ignorant a lot of the time these days, like people will stick to their guns about, this is what I believe in, and kind of are unable to be more inclusive with how they see the world.
But I mean, Susie, I don't want to get to the end of my life, whenever that is, and go, I didn't learn anything. I didn't grow. I didn't reach my full potential. I remember, my mum, or I think it was my mum, used to say to me, she'd say, do something or whatever. And I'd say, why? She goes, because I said so. And it irritated me. It was like, why would you say so? I need to know the reasoning behind it. I just don't like this closed bang. You know what I mean? Let's be curious. And that's what Joy Drive is all about. We're all curious. It's smart, fun radio. That's why we've got you on it, Susie.
Thank you. You know, my father taught me that. My father, when I was young, like when I was a child, and he was still in his late 20s, he made it very clear to me that curiosity was really important, and he made me want to question everything, and which was really interesting. Like, he was really open to me asking about everything, except he pretended to know answers, which he didn't.
But at least he encouraged you to be curious. I think it's the essence of life, honestly. Have I said enough?
Yeah.
We're talking
about... Yeah.
So shut up.
Yeah, so I think watching documentaries are so valuable, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to watch them all the time. I'd find that a bit boring after a while. But pepper them throughout my viewing, which you largely dictate, Susie Rong, I have to admit. I love them. I really do. And a good documentary. I mean, not all documentaries are good. Some of them are quite boring and poorly made. But documentaries can capture your mind, capture that curiosity, and you're hooked. And this one was good. We're talking about Everybody, aren't we? Everybody, the documentary on Netflix.
That's right.
What is it, Susie? Tell us.
There is no I in team, but there's a very important I in the LGBTQIA plus family. Today's documentary, Everybody, now streaming on Netflix, offers a glimpse into the lives of intersex Americans, their challenges, especially in relation to the medical establishment, and their activism for changing the ways society at large conceives of their bodies and identities. There are three main interview subjects in the film, Alicia, River, and Cypher, who look to be only in their 20s and 30s, but all have horrific tales about being administered unwarranted and non-consensual surgeries not too many years ago when they were children. The documentary includes footage from the 1950s of doctors talking about putting children and babies under the knife so that they can grow up, quote-unquote, normal. This practice of mutilation has been going on for many decades, and the intersex community is still fighting ignorance today about these issues. I found the film Everybody to be moving and informative. I don't think any of this is new to me, but because we hear so little from the letter I in our rainbow family, it felt important to hear it all again. The documentary goes to some effort to communicate on an emotional level, and I must say that being able to relate to the subject matter with poignancy and not just clinically and objectively makes all the difference. As a trans person, I was always careful to regard intersex people as having their own distinct set of experiences, but with Everybody, I'm now able to see the parallels in some of the difficulties we face. Trans people spend a lot of energy thinking about the harmony between our insides and our outsides, and we often struggle with trying to find some kind of coherence between how we feel and how we look. We try so hard to fit into conventions and categories, and there comes a time when you just have to stand in defiance against those so-called norms, and this is what I think that people we meet in Everybody are calling for. They were born with healthy bodies that should not have been interfered with, and we need to stop these authority figures from inflicting on everybody their narrow ideas about gender and sexuality. Warren, we have such anxiety about the stuff between our legs, don't we?
We definitely do. I love the way that you identified those parallels, Susie. That was really touching hearing that. And I loved that you used the term ignorance. I think ignorance and narrow-mindedness go together, don't they?
Yeah. Narrow-mindedness, like I said earlier, feels like a bit like a work in progress. I feel like people don't intend to be narrow-minded, but sometimes I feel like people are quite happy being ignorant. Like, you know, these days we call ourselves being stuck in silos, right? We're sort of this kind of thinking, that kind of thinking, right wing, left wing, whatever. And it's almost like we are very content with that sort of ignorance, and we like the combative nature of holding on to some beliefs. But narrow-mindedness didn't feel like that. Narrow-mindedness felt like people were just like missing information or missing education, and then they were able to expand a little more.
It's interesting because I didn't know much about intersex until I started working at Joy. And again, it's part of that curiosity and that desire to want to keep learning. And the documentary was good. It did it perfectly. And I think, you know, if we think, I kind of a bit moved that, or upset that we're telling kids that they're faulty, and then the medical professionals are making a decision on what they should be to feel normal. And I know I'm not religious at all, but I felt like they're kind of playing God in some ways, aren't they? Like, you will be this, I've made a decision and determined that this is going to be right for your future. I just felt like that's wrong, because I can't imagine what it would be like growing up and the wrong decision was made on your behalf. I can't imagine what that was like. We've got a show on Joy called The Eye in Us, and it's brilliant. And they can talk about what it's like to be intersex. I have no idea what it's like, but I certainly got an appreciation of the struggles that intersex people deal with. But I just think we have to stop doing this. We have to stop playing God and determining what people should be, because there's nothing wrong with them in the first place. It's just we come up with this binary.
The documentary starts with this really funny... funny sequence of a lot of footage from different gender reveal parties with these young couples, young pregnant couples, being very excited about finding out if they're going to have a baby boy or a baby girl. And to queer people, it looks really absurd, that, you know, they feel such a compulsion to need to categorize their babies so far ahead of time. And, you know, as queer people, we know that even if you do know what kind of, you know, genitalia your baby's going to be born with, there is no guarantee that we know what their gender is. And then also, you know, I think this experience of talking about intersex people just shows that it should really encourage us to think beyond the binary, and, you know, that it is not just the blue and the pink. And, you know, well, why should we? I'm confused, really. Like, well, why do we want so badly to assign these genders? And my only explanation would be that because of religion, because of tradition, and I think that so much of power in our institutions, you know, the medical institution especially, is so traditional and old-fashioned, and, you know, people who believe in what marriage looks like, what families look like, and then from there they have this kind of ideas about how people should grow up and how babies should behave.
You know, I mean, look, the term binary has its place, and I like it when it comes to computer logic and the on and off state in electrical circuits, but let's leave it where it belongs in the digital world. It's not applicable to people, and the sooner we accept that, the easier it's going to be for everyone, Susie. It's like, it's, I suppose that, yeah, let's just leave it into the digital electronic world. That's where it belongs. It works there, and it provides all our technology, but not in the biological human world. We don't need to bring it in. Leave it alone. We don't need it. Susie, just on, after watching the documentary, and we're learning about intersex people, which is fantastic, and we've got the LGBTIQ+ acronym, and I suppose I'm being a little bit controversial here. I hate it. I really hate the acronym. I just feel like, you know, we're also compartmentalizing people as well. Once we all learn about the I, should we get rid of the acronym? Should we all be queer? Should we all just be P for people? Is it time? What do you reckon?
Well, it's like the discussion you were having in the previous hour. Because the reality is that we are not just people. We have been assigned all these kind of categories so that the power structures can oppress us, so that people can take advantage of us by saying that they are more valuable to society. You know, like the Sam Kerr situation about calling the guy a stupid white cop. Yeah, allegedly calling the guy a stupid white cop. You know, it's different because she comes from a position of a marginalized community, and you can't, you know, yes, it's probably a very unpleasant thing to hear about yourself being referred to that way, but it is not racism. Racism is an entire machine that descends upon you day to day. So the labels do something. First of all, the labels are applied onto you by people who want to use those labels so they have advantage over you. And then we need to use these labels so that we can, you know, we can find a way to organize, we can find a way to identify compatriots, and then from that position be able to find our own power and hopefully you know, turn things around. So in that way, I feel as a political thing, these alphabets and these labels are important and valuable in how we can unite and organize. But, you know, you know how people complain about the alphabet soup getting more and more complex? You know, every few years a new alphabet gets added into it. I think of it as being expanding, just kind of it gradually expanding so that people understand that actually, who is the straight person? Who are straight? And, you know, gradually I'm meeting people who kind of feel like, oh, I don't know if I'm as straight as I used to think I am. And then they'll figure out, maybe I am this alphabet. Maybe I am that alphabet. And maybe there should be a new alphabet.
What if you don't fit into one of the labels?
They keep adding alphabets over the years. Maybe something will happen. I don't know. But the point of Q is that the Q is meant to be much more inclusive. And the good thing about the recent years is that we are referring to our community as the queer community. There is still some resistance, I believe, but the word queer is meant to include many more people who are perhaps uncomfortable with being called straight people.
What if we put H on it for heterosexual and added that to it? Then we're all in it, in the acronym. There's nothing that it, everyone belongs. I mean, that's controversial.
Well, that's controversial. Well, the point of the rainbow family is that we can find strength in our marginalization, I think. And if people who are not marginalized, I don't know how they are able to fit. You know, if they can, great. You know, sometimes people say the A in our family is not just asexual and aromantic, but also allyship. Yeah. That is extremely controversial, I believe. But maybe there are people who are so much of an ally that they actually identify more with the Q as in queerness than with straight life, straight culture. I don't know. But with the intersex stories, I think it's really, really valuable. Like the last 10 years, I think the intersex people are really good at talking about non-binary identities. And the last 10 years, I have learned so much from NB people, you know, because I was so binary.
Were you?
Previously, in my early years of transition, I was like, all right, if you're gonna be a woman, if you want the world to regard you as woman, you have to follow these rigid rules. You have to do all these things. You have to sound like that. You gotta look like that. You gotta move like that. You gotta think like that. And then a few years into that, it's impossible. It's impossible for even cis women, you know, people assigned women as, assigned female, but it's impossible for them. So of course it's going to be impossible for me to be able to fit into all these sort of parameters. So when over the last few years, meeting more and more non-binary people coming out, it's been so freeing for me. Really, it has been so freeing to disrupt my thinking, my really old fashioned 70s, 80s induction of what a mother, a woman looked like. Like, I no longer have to be anything like my mother. I no longer have to do what my mother was trying and failed to do herself, you know?
It must be very freeing, Susie.
Yeah, and I think it should be freeing for anyone with any kind of gender affiliation, you know? Like, you have your kind of beliefs and values around masculinity. And in these recent years, I also see a lot of people's masculinities changing. And that's a wonderful thing, that people are really confident in their maleness as an evolving new thing.
Exactly. I love it. I love the way we're doing it. And look, I don't know, maybe we do stick with the acronym. Maybe we do replace it with something else. I must admit, I used to hate the term queer years ago. I hated it. I found it offensive. I thought it was a derogatory term. And now I'm really comfortable with it. I quite like it because I sort of feel like it embraces all of us and it's easier to say, especially on radio. I can tell you that. I love the way we're all changing. Yeah,
the more we say it, the easier it becomes.
Exactly. And the good thing is we're discussing it all, and that's what's really, really important. Susie, it was a great documentary. It is called Everybody. You can catch it on Netflix. Susie, we've had bottoms. What have we got now for next week?
Last week we had bottoms. Yep. Next week we're going to have Dicks the Musical, which is available to rent or buy on all the usual platforms. I haven't seen it yet, but it looks very gay and hopefully very funny. So let's check out Dicks the Musical, and we'll talk about it when I see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. That's Susie Rong. So today we spoke about Everybody on Netflix. Next week, it's Dicks.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.